Welcome to episode 94 of Dojo Shogo. We are so excited about this episode because there's big news and E3's next week, and E3's going to be a big topic of our show this week. And before I get into any of that, I of course want to introduce myself and ourselves. I'm Noah, and my wonderful co-hosts in this episode are Matthew Didman.
Minty Fresh.
Andrew Hoover.
Anything but Minty Fresh.
Gregory Wampler.
E3's going to be Minty Fresh.
So, I'm a little tired, guys. And I'm just going to say that right at the beginning of this episode, because while this is a really exciting episode, I have been burning the midnight oil for a little while now. And the reason why is because we have a brand new Nintendojo, and this is the first official podcast episode of the first redesign, front-end redesign, I think in 5 or 6 years, and the first back-end content tool redesign in 9 years. So it's a huge, monumental thing. It's what I just casually made an offhanded meh type of a remark about last week. And our fantastic developer, Drew Strickland, who also did the layout implementation and customization of our forums last year, before last year's E3, he's the one who's handled all the back-end implementation and installation of our new content tool. And he's also the one that created all the templates that out of the redesign mock-ups that I made. So we owe a lot to him. He's been working really long hours, and I've been working really long hours, and the staff has been busting their butts for over a month creating content for the brave new world of Nintendojo. We have a totally different content strategy. We're going to be doing things. Not only does everything look different, and we're entering things in a different tool, but the way that we're producing the content, what kind of content we're producing, is brand new for us. We're getting out of the regular grind. Don't get us wrong. We still will do daily news in a cool encapsulated format that you have to check out. And we're still going to do reviews. And we're definitely going to do not one, but 2 weeks of coverage of E3, sharing previews and great stories and everything from that. But beyond that, into the future, we have this really cool weekly theme format that we're getting into. It's kind of like a weekly magazine is a good way to think of it. If you've checked out the Escapist magazine, it's similar to that. But we are the Nintendo fan site equivalent to that, I suppose is a good way to put it. And we are not trying to be the next Escapist by any means, but they have a similar strategy, and that's what we're doing as well. And we thought, what better topic for our very inaugural issue in this new strategy than Rebirth? This is the Rebirth of Nintendojo on all fronts. And what a cool concept for video games. There's been so many rebirths and revivals, and especially in the last generation. And so on the website, we have lots of articles and cool features that are about that. And we're going to spend a section of this podcast talking about video game rebirths with respect to E3. We're going to address what game revival or rebirth do we think Nintendo should or will bring to E3. We'll each have an idea of what that is. But before we get into that, we're going to tell you what we've been playing this last week. And then we're going to have this great rapid-fire cornucopia of E3 prediction questions that my co-hosts came up with some great ideas. I can't wait to get into that. After that, we have a quick piece of feedback. And then we will send you on your merry way. And we hope that you go and check out our brand new website. And we hope you like it. Without further ado, gentlemen, let's get rolling.
Booyah! So Noah, with the redesign out of the way, does this mean you're going to be taking the Mountain Dew cans out of your beer hat and going to stop snorting the pixie snakes?
Sugar and caffeine used to be good for keeping me awake, and now I'm not sure.
You've grown immune to the effects.
I think I ingested too much of it.
He's changed over to methamphetamines.
Yes.
It's the whole key answer.
All speed, all the time. Yeah, listeners, if you've ever fancied making one of your own little fan sites, or if you've tried it before, you'll quickly learn, or you have learned, that it doesn't leave a lot of time for other things, like playing video games, which is cruelly ironic in this case. And in that respect, for me, I haven't really played anything this last week. I did get some few middle-of-the-night sessions in on League of Legends. I don't know why. It's just what I was on the computer all day working on redesign stuff, and I'm like, oh, now I'm going to play League of Legends. I don't have to get up. I'll just sit right here. And sat I did all weekend long. Just did a couple rounds of that. That was fun. What I've also been doing, definitely video game and Nintendo-related, I mentioned it last week, is I've been watching the Captain in Ouvre. So I'll put it. The first two seasons, which were combined into a single DVD bundle. And I'm near the end of the second season. And I don't think I'm going to watch the third season. Because that's a series of only 7 15-minute episodes, and the budget was really cut back, and characters don't show up, and it's not really based on video games anymore. It's based on fairy tales and stuff like that. And who wants that? But there are some things that I won't miss getting to the end of my Captain N saga. And I'm going to point out the trivia bits first, but I did some research on the voice actors, and I'm going to point out the tidbits that are most interesting to me. So if you ever watched Battlestar Galactica, the new TV series, and you remember the character Gaeta, who is on the main Battlestar Galactica spaceship, it turns out he's like a majorly prolific voice actor, and he's been in lots of cartoons, and he's done a lot of anime voiceovers. And it turns out, when he was like 12, he was the voice of Icarus. And he went on, in a more recent big highlight, he was the voice of L in the Death Note anime series. And he was also Gaten in Battlestar Galactica, which is like one of my all-time favorite shows. So that was pretty cool. And then I had to find out who voiced Mother Brain. And it turns out it's one of the members, Levi Stubbs, one of the members of the Four Tops. He's no longer with us, unfortunately, but he also is a prolific voice actor. And he voiced Audrey in the Little Shop of Horrors movie, which kind of explained to me Mother Brain's voice. The reason
I can totally hear that.
Yeah. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I will in no way at all miss hearing any of these voice actors. I am not going to miss hearing Captain N's Valley Boy, whoa, anymore. I'm not going to miss hearing Kid Icarus squeak and say, "You're Heinekiss," and all this other crap where he puts Icarus at the end of everything. I'm not going to miss Simon Belmont's effete, I don't know how a politically correct way to put it, girly way of talking. And I'm definitely not going to miss Mother Brain, who I've always equivocated to a black drag queen. I don't know why. Now that I know that that was the voice of Audrey, I'm like, okay, so that Little Shop of Horrors is kind of big back in the 80s. And Saved by the Bell and Bill Ted's Excellent Adventure was kind of big around that time frame. And so I can understand, kind of, but it is some of the most annoying crap I've ever listened to. I'm not going to miss it. Curse those voice directors and voice casters for doing that. Bad. That's my gaming indulgences for the last week. Let's hear from Tidman next.
Well, I have been sort of limited this week to Mario Galaxy 2, which I have beaten now. Spoilers, I'm working on the bonus levels now to get after you beat the main game. And not to give away too much, but they brought back one of the most difficult stages from the original game, and it's actually the first bonus stage. Mm-hmm. And really, if you think about it long enough, you'll probably figure out which stage they brought back. But they made it even more difficult because now when you go through it a second time, the cosmic clones chase you all over the place while you're trying to collect the purple coins. And that made me want to throw my controller against the wall and scream at the TV, because it was just so frustrating. But other than that, fantastic game. I still highly recommend it. And then this week I've also been playing a little bit of Pokemon. I popped in Super Smash Brothers. I played that on Virtual Console for a little bit and was depressed by how poor I am at the original game now. I played a little bit of Super Mario World also on Virtual Console. But other than that, pretty light week.
How about you, Greg?
Like Tidman, I already had the game beat, but I started going through a lot more of the S-World levels. Spoilers coming up. Yes, the first... I don't know about you, Tidman, but I think my skills have increased dramatically since 3 years ago from playing the first one, because I didn't really get mad. I remember being mad the first time I played that level in the original Galaxy, but... I don't know. I flew through it, even with the Cosmic Marios or the Cosmic Clones, whatever, chasing after me. I flew through it. I loved that level. I don't know what changed in the last 3 years, but something. Maybe it's all those first-person shooters I've been playing or something. I don't know.
It's because your skills are so elite, Greg.
Maybe. I don't know. But, I got through, three or four of the S-World levels so far, and... Yeah, they definitely get harder and harder, I'll admit that, but very fun levels.
Now, when you guys say that you beat the game, do you mean that you just met the minimum requirements to fight Bowser? And
yes. Right now, yes. I
exceeded the minimum requirements to fight Bowser.
Okay.
So right now, I only have 90 right now.
Yeah, it requires 70 stars to fight Bowser for the last time.
Which is 10 more than the last two, N64, Mario, and Galaxy 1. So it's a little more difficult to get to Bowser.
And then after that, you get to the S worlds, and you get a world and then a block where you have to have a certain number of stars. And so you have to have more and more stars to get to the later areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, like the very last, well, there's more than what, like you mentioned, but the very last S world level, you need 100. Just to get to that one, and then there's another guy to feed. So yeah, I don't know.
I totally have that already. I'm actually 103 now.
Whatever.
I've cleared all the other levels completely except for the S levels.
No, I only have World 1 and 2 completely done. Coins and all is the only two that I've gone back to and gotten everything. But other than Super Mario Galaxy 2, I finally jumped on the bandwagon and ordered Left 4 Dead 2, because I told Noah before
Excellent.
That. I thought it was the same game, but I'll tell you what, yeah, Noah was right. It's a lot better. The melee attacks, yeah, that's really fun. But that brings up another point of mine. I also got Mag on the PS3. And I want to tie all this in together onto a Nintendo opinion. And I'm almost glad that Nintendo and the Wii don't have any form of community. Because I am starting to hate all the little baby girls. No, not really. They're boys, but they sound like baby girls. And all the complainers and all the cheaters. I literally sat through my first game online in Left 4 Dead 2 of just the first 20 minutes. You know how somebody has to hit the bell or whatever, the alarm, and it starts the level or whatever. 20 to 25 minutes I sat there and just waited, because they're like, no, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. I'm trying to cheat. I'm trying to blow myself up onto the pole. And it's like, wow, really? Can we just play? Like, I don't have to worry about that with the Wii. I don't. And I'll tell you what, it's getting worse. Mag is even worse. You have these people trying to play Mag as if it's Modern Warfare 2, and it's not. It's not. It's a team-based game, and people don't understand it. Maybe, honestly, I think it might help if you were in the military, because my team that I played with last night were all military members. All five or six of us were military, ex-military, and we kicked ass. We kicked butt. And but as soon as you get on a team with these kids that just run out in the middle of freaking sniper fire, I can't stand it. I have to actually. I told my wife that I'm not playing my PS3 or my 360 for like well after E3 because I just can't stand it. So
wow,
we has a new permanent home in my hands for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and my DSi because I can't stand it. I don't have to worry about that crap on Wii. I don't. Except
Andy,
for yeah,
you're letting that one go completely.
Sorry, yeah, Andy, but is. It's bad. It's getting bad. I can't.
So, what'd your wife say when you announced you were going to play PS3 and 360?
Oh well, she just said, "Well, now I get to play Fable 2 all the time because that's the only hardcore game that she plays is Fable 2, and I absolutely hate that game, so I won't even get on that." But yeah, other than that, that's basically it because I've been really busy. But that's it. I just want to get that Steam out there because. Hopefully there's some Sony fanboy or something, maybe, that listens to this podcast. Doubt it, but maybe the word will spread that you guys suck. You can't play games. You guys
Lucas
suck.
Lucas might. Who knows? I don't know if he's still listening anymore.
Sony fanboys, you've been pwned.
Andy, wrap us up.
Well, speaking of online competitive first-person shooters, of course I play more Battlefield, and... See, I don't have the same problem as Greg largely because I always play with like the same squad of people, same group of people. I do not play unless I am with at least one other friend. And though the rest of our team may suck, when we have a full squad together, one good squad is usually enough to carry a team to victory. But when we just have an absolutely atrocious team, I do not care about winning, I just care about killing the opposition. And I must say, though, I love it when the other team tries to play as though it were Modern Warfare 2. And I love it even more when it's an entire team full of medics that don't realize it's a good idea to revive people when the person who just shot them is still shooting at them. I had a great match where literally like, half the team was medics, and pretty much I would shoot one medic, and the medic would come up and revive that person. Then I'd shoot the medic that just did the reviving. And then the medic who I had killed before would revive them and just put back and forth. And it's one of those things where I should get one kill, but I end up getting like five. Because these people do not know what the hell they're doing. It's magnificent. But aside from
amazing.
That... It is. I love people who absolutely suck. And like, oh God, I love snipers that don't pay attention to. Because the great thing about that game is the ability to collect dog tags. I'm not a real dog tag collecting whore, but I have one friend who is. He's actually like in the top 50 for Xbox Live people, and all of Xbox Live for a number of named dog tags collected. But like, I had literally three snipers lined up in a row on the same little perch, and I got behind them and just 1, 2, 3. It was magnificent. But aside from that, I've been. I finished up Red Dead Redemption Story. I went online with that. And the competitive mode is just okay. It's kind of annoying because the game has the progressive ranking up system, like in Battlefield or Call of Duty. But like the weapons and character models you unlock don't carry over into the competitive mode. It's only for like the free roam, which is it's kind of annoying because... Your character model is determined specifically just by what sort of faction you're playing for, and getting new weapons is pretty much like the classic, you know, GoldenEye kind of style. You start off with your, you know, like one or two basic weapons, and you have to run around the map to find more.
No so werewolves or zombies yet.
No werewolves or zombies. Though I will say the free roam is awesome, and when you create a posse or a group together and start like taking out the gang forts, which are sort of like little co-op missions spread around, it can get pretty fun. And you can also still play those by yourself if you want. So the free roam is really good, the competitive, kind of meh. Though I too have also achieved the absolute minimum required for beating... Mario Galaxy, only I really haven't bothered to go too much further at this point. Though I will say the final fight against spoiler warning, Bowser was a little disappointing because I felt the second fight with Bowser was harder than the final fight. I mean, he just gave up no fight whatsoever, and he wasn't as tough as he was in the original Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, but it was a little bit more extended, right, than the first Galaxy?
It was extended.
The second half?
Yeah, the whole, I guess, scope of it was pretty epic and cool.
Yeah.
So, also, like Noah, I must talk about my viewing experiences. Because for one of our upcoming issues for the redesign, I do a little piece on the Legend of Zelda cartoon. And a couple weeks ago, I complained about the Mario Super Show, and that's Citizen freaking Kane compared to the Zelda series. It's so atrocious. I mean, just the best way to describe it, I think, is small. Everything about it is so pathetically tiny. Ganon's plans are occasionally creative, but ultimately really stupid. it's so formulaic. It just, they got the character of Link all wrong. I mean, he doesn't have too much character. I mean, the whole point, of course, of the games, you're supposed to project yourself onto Link. But he's just this cocky...
Are you trying to get at me?
Dillweed. What was that?
So are you trying to get at me since I got at you about online gaming?
What? Why?
Because I love everything Zelda. I'm sorry. I can't bash the cartoon. I can't bash the cartoon. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but I can't do it.
Well, wow.
I love Zelda too, but I cannot make that claim because
I will admit that it is a pretty crappy cartoon, but I can't bash it. That's all I'll say.
I will say one good thing about it, though, just to appease Greg. I do like its portrayal of Zelda, because she's almost always alongside Link, fighting along with him. Yeah. And she's just as good a fighter as Link, and significantly smarter.
Yeah.
She should have been the hero of the damn show.
It's true.
Yeah,
she is the hero of the show, if you think about it.
I still think Link flying on his shield is a freaking awesome idea. Sorry. I think it's a cool idea. I think Nintendo needs to use that in the game.
That's a cool idea. But basing an episode around spring cleaning, I don't think spring freaking cleaning. I think your big epic adventures. It's terrible. I mean, if you feel like you must watch the show, it is on Hulu. So go ahead and knock yourself out. I mean, literally, knock yourself out. Don't watch this piece of shit.
You need to buy the DVDs. Don't watch it on Hulu. Be like me. Own the collection.
No, I'm not going to buy the DVDs because then I would be getting somebody money for this. Hulu should mail me a freaking check for having sat through this dribble.
I feel like they based Zelda and Link's characters off of Han Solo and Princess Leia in Star Wars.
Except Han accomplished things.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I would think Link's more based off of Luke with how whiny Luke was in the first Star Wars.
Yeah, I can see so. Only Luke's more confident.
Luke is based off of Wedge Antilles, you know, a character that's just there and makes noise and doesn't do anything.
He's like, when Luke goes, oh, but I was going to go pick up some power converters. Yeah, that sounds kind
of. So I will admit, the Robot Chicken Star Wars special did redeem that line.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's a wrap for what we've been playing, and now we're going to get into our big E3 prediction extravaganza next. E3 predictions, everybody's doing them, so why not us? We've got a series of 8 or 9 questions that we're going to blaze through here. I will pronounce them, and then my co-hosts will have at it. First question. You ready?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to me.
Will Cammie Dunaway share a painful story about breaking a limb during the press conference, or will she actually break a limb during the press conference?
Like I said earlier, terrible, terrible vitality sensor accident.
I'm thinking that something is going to happen involving the vitality sensor and the balance board, and she is going to fall off it and land funny and have trouble controlling her sexual impulses for the rest of her life.
I don't even know. I can't top Tidman, so we'll just keep it at that.
All right, next question. Will Wii's new Legend of Zelda game be shown and playable?
Definitely shown. I'd say 50-50 chances for playable.
I think there'll be some kind of demo playable. Not necessarily full out adventuring, but I think something with the Wii Motion Plus will be swinging the sword, possibly. Something like that.
Yeah, I agree that it is definitely going to be shown. There's no way they can't show it this year and still be respected by any moderately core gamer to core gamer, so they have to show it. I'm going to give it a 70% chance of being playable, although it's going to probably be a very limited demo, especially if it's not as far along as Miyamoto wants.
Yeah, if it's not there, Nintendo shouldn't even show up. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it'll show up in the press conference, whether in trailer or demo form. Remains to be seen. If it's demo form, then I think it's highly likely it'll be on the show floor. Or they could do something where it's a trailer, and then they show a demo during their developer event, and it's still not on the show floor. Mm-hmm. But I'm also wondering what Nintendo's big Wii title is going to be for the holidays, because Mario Galaxy 2 and Metroid Other M are already going to be released by them.
And Sin and Punishment 2.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do want to make a quick note. I want to apologize for my horrible mispronunciation. It's a Miyamoto, not Miyamoto, but now that we've got that figured out, we can move on.
I'm glad you said that, because then that gives me the excuse to say it's Iwata, not Iwata. And if only Evan were here, so I could say it directly to him as well.
And of course, it's Wampler, not Wampler.
Oh, thank you. Good job.
Wow. We do learn occasionally here.
Sometimes you forget, but you learn. Uh-huh. Next question. What will the vitality sensor actually do?
Well, my theory right now, and this is just a working theory, I don't have it completely figured out yet. You put it on your finger. And once you put it on your finger, it actually links up to your neural network and gives you direct access over a nuclear warhead centered in Japan. You can launch it whatever country you want to. It's not traceable. They don't know who set it off. And they're going to give it around the world so that, you know, global war escalates really quickly.
But you have to be completely relaxed when you launch the nuclear warhead.
That's correct. If you're not completely relaxed, it explodes your brain from inside your head.
Whoa. I don't think it's for our fingers. I think it's for our toes. That's what I believe.
I was thinking that would be really gross.
Have to wear a sock, because it has to
be like tethered to a remote. So could you imagine something hooked to your foot and you're trying to swing around the remote that's hooked to your foot?
Somebody just used the Wii remote and nunchuck in their shoes. They built some stupid contraption like that. So why not? Why not have it attached to your toe? Just be like a 6-foot long cable instead of the little 2-foot, 1-foot long we have now.
For my serious idea, Miyamoto has said in the past that he was going to do something cat related, and I have a feeling that one of the pieces of software for Vitality Sensor will be related to cats.
Okay, Nintendo cats?
Yeah.
Okay, if it's related to cats, then my guess is that it's going to give me an allergic reaction.
Could you imagine there's like a pooper scooper task, but you're supposed to stay as relaxed as possible? Or maybe like the cat has a duty or a hairball somewhere in the middle of your house, and you have to be completely calm and relaxed as you take care of it with the Wii Remote.
They'll need to sell the smell enhancer before they do that, though, so you get the full effect.
If it's going to be for cats instead of fingers or toes, you should be able to put the cat's paw in the thing. And if it can feel it purr, you know, then the cat purrs on screen. Something.
Oh. Greg, I don't think we're quite ready to give back cats your nuclear weapons. It's not a good idea.
Think of the dogs.
And you have to swing the cat around.
This show is not endorsed by the ASPCA.
Or PETA, for that matter. Our next question. What game will make the 3DS's launch or reveal a success?
Oh.
Oh, it's a stumper.
They will finally make a game based on Jaws 3D.
Avatar 3D. Jeez, oh man. Jeez, oh man.
I am thinking that we're going to see new Super Mario Brothers 3D. And it's going to be a 3D reimagining of Super Mario Brothers 3. Just going out on a limb there.
They call it Super Mario 3 3D.
One of the many Virtual Boy games that should have done good but didn't because it wasn't bought, so they could just re-release it on a 3DS.
Well, Nestor's Funky Bowling is totally going to hit 3DS. We all know this is going to happen.
Do you think there's going to be... Well, actually, I feel rather certain there's going to be some kind of brain training thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that would be something exciting enough to sell games to that established blue ocean that Nintendo's reached out into, all those folks who bought the DS for brain training?
No. I would almost think on that same line, maybe instead like a Mario Party game, because it's at least a little bit more broad, and maybe include some type of brain training in with it. I don't know.
What if they use the camera to make 3D photographs?
That'd be
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there are 3D cameras out there now, but I mean, that could be a real selling point of the 3DS. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have a built-in 3D camera.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if they were going to do that, they would have to have two different cameras on the back.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I just thought of that'd be cool in 3D: Star Fox.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Style.
Everything coming right out at you.
Yep.
Star Fox or F-Zero.
Or even Dimensium. Dimensium 3. Oh.
Dimensium 3D. Dylan Cuthbert of Q Games is probably going to be at the show, so we may see something like Q Games co-developed to Star Fox, because weren't they or wasn't he the guy that was behind the original one for SNES?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, it's possible.
I just thought of another thing that would be cool in 3D. Sort of like a Geometry Wars kind of shooter. Just like that wireframe kind of look.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, getting to what Greg said, mentioning the art style, I would love to see just a killer app puzzle game that I couldn't put down that took advantage of the 3D. Kind of like that, what was it, Leroy's Look or whatever? What's that called, Greg?
Looksley's
Lineup.
Looksley's Lineup. No wonder I can't remember it. But something like that would be pretty cool. Who knows? We're going to get into talking about the competition. How creepy do you think Milo will be? On a scale of 1 to 10.
They will have a string section sitting around the display for Milo, making those creepy pizzicato string noises as you're playing. And people will crap themselves.
I'm thinking that on a scale of 1 to 10, Milo is going to be about a 27.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to say N/A are not applicable because I still don't believe it. It's fake.
You don't think
it
Milo's
going to
be there?
No, it may, but it's going to be another trick of, no, we can't show you. Only special privileged people can go behind this white curtain. No, I don't believe it. I still don't believe it. Anytime you have to hide something like that, no. I mean, if it's so great, why wouldn't you want to show it off?
You're That's comparing what, Milo know? to the wizard from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
Ignore the man behind the curtain. He is not controlling Milo.
It's not that creepy to me, because as soon as I saw some of the mistakes they screwed up on, like the woman waving her hand in the pond, and the ripples weren't matching her hand, no,
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Or actually, if it doesn't work, I think that could be the creepiest thing, because people just walk up to it and they'll try to interact, but Milo will just stand there and stare into their soul.
Supposedly that's what he did. Whenever a certain person asked the question in the wrong manner or whatever, the wrong, you know, way of words, you know, rearrange the words in different ways, he didn't know what to say. So you know, that to me cool means he's pre-programmed. So I don't know.
Milo, speaker to the dead.
Yeah.
You go up to him and he does seances for you. You're like, Milo, I want to speak to my great-grandfather. Milo looks off in his face. I'm picking something up. And he's like,
since you can scan items in, scan a Ouija board and have him play with a Ouija with you. See if it actually does anything.
Milo's portal to hell.
I see that you like Ridge Racer.
So that actually leads into our next question. Will Natal, as it's currently called, actually work? Will it be a feasible device?
It will be a device. And it will do something, but not nearly as well as the hype portrays.
It'll be a really great paperweight is what it'll do. That's about it. Because, I mean, honestly, look at what, I mean, they took out the processor, and there's rumors going around that it's going to be $150 still, and yada, yada, yada. And then they go on and say, well, what's funny is I just saw a video on it the other day, and there was like 4 people playing that ball bouncing game, whatever the heck it's called, Rebound or whatever, and only 2 of the people were scanned into the image, into the TV, and yet they were all still missing the balls. Like, there was so much lag, it was like, there was like 2 huge bodies in the screen, and these balls were still going, it just doesn't look fun to me. It doesn't, there's no reward.
Yeah, and like, I haven't gotten my hands on it or anything, I haven't really seen any demos of it since last year's E3, which was entirely staged, but from what I've been hearing around the edges when I've been reading different articles and different stuff, especially back during GDC, is that it just does not work as it's advertised to work. And it's a pain to program for, and it's not worth the effort that it's required to get it to work. That's not to say that some developer won't figure out a brilliant way to make it work, because I think a lot of the same complaints were leveled against Nintendo at the beginning of the Wii's life cycle. You know, now that we're getting into the middle to end of it, we've seen a lot of good stuff, especially since they've increased the viability of the Wii Remote with Wii Motion Plus.
I don't think anybody ever said that it was hard to develop for, though, like they're saying with Natal.
I think back in the very beginning, people were saying that it was difficult to come up with, like, a motion gesture system.
Yeah,
but then enough developers have developed that now that all they have to do is tweak their systems they have or go with a middleware developer who's developed one that works pretty well.
Well, supposedly Natal is just so smart. It knows what you're doing. You don't need to develop that part of it. They developed software that is so smart. I'm sorry, but then why didn't they put it into something better than video games? If it's so smart, why isn't it like thinking up a way to save the Earth from global warming or so? You know what I mean? It's just, why isn't it being used for science? It's not.
Actually, let me tell you the reason why it's not being used for science. It's because the prototype was actually the computer from War Games, the 80s movie, and they found out that if they put it in anything more powerful than a video game console, it tries to destroy the world. Yep. To save us, it has to destroy us.
Actually,
it'll play tic-tac-toe against itself for hours.
Actually, little does anybody know, but Barack Obama is actually in a Natal with the processor.
He's Milo!
As for my opinion, I would like to see Natal do well. I think what was most compelling of the tech demos that they created was the idea of using Natal for a hands-free way of interfacing with the Xbox UI in terms of navigating through menus and facial recognition to log you in and being able to talk to the system and just request things. I think that's really cool. And if Natal flops, which it very likely could from what we've heard, it's definitely the first step into a new paradigm. And if Microsoft doesn't get it right, somebody's going to. If it's not Microsoft, maybe it's Nintendo, Sony, Apple, I don't know who. But I think it's really exciting to get that Minority Report-style interaction without even wearing gloves. You just, the camera sees you and recognizes what you're doing. It's a really cool concept. Next question. Let's talk about Sony. Will Move be anything more than a Wii knockoff? Sony's been pounding its chest pretty hard that they've got some really crazy, exciting ideas that you have no idea, you couldn't even predict that you're going to see at E3.
Well, if you listen to Sony, then yes, Move is going to not only be the most amazing way to play video games ever invented and be completely revolutionary, something that nobody has ever come up with before, it's also going to cure cancer and single-handedly stop all wars on the planet and create a golden era of peace.
Especially the ones started by Natal.
Yes. If you live in reality, though, it's going to be a decent knockoff. It may do some things a little bit better than the Wii does, but it's not going to be anywhere near as revolutionary as they want to make it, considering that it's using some of their older tech to make it work, and also because the controller looks like various things that we can't talk about on the show.
damn it, I've tried.
I don't see the killer app for Sony. Mm-hmm. And Sony's talking like it has one, but when it's not even hooking up its main franchises like Killzone 3 to the system, it's just like, well, do you guys really believe in this? Because high definition copies of Wii games is not that exciting. Yeah. And for all the bravado that Sony has about what Move is going to do or what games are going to be associated with it, they're not making a separate press conference just to show it off like Microsoft is doing with Natal, which Microsoft may make a fool of it itself by doing that, but I think Natal probably has something more interesting to see whether it's successful or not than Move. And unless there's a killer app, I think this thing's going to make it fizzle out as quickly as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, one thing, like, I know I've read some previews of, like, a build of the upcoming SOCOM game they did with Move, and it works, but it's just, you know, again, used in conjunction with their, whatever they call it, the nunchuck, in all intents and purposes, but yeah, it works.
The sub-controller.
Yes, the sub-controller.
Submarine!
It works, but it's just not anything. It's not better. It's not anything special. It's might as well use the standard remote.
Yeah, that really leads into what I want to say. And all of the games that they will be showing off, or at least we think, and people think they're going to be showing off, like Killzone 3, you know, all these games are just games that already use the main controller, the DualShock 3, and they're just optional. So what's going to make a person want to go out and pay the $100 for the camera and one controller, whatever it is, one Move controller? Unless you already have the camera, then I guess you're only paying whatever $50 for another controller. But what's going to make you want to do that? There's already games that they're showing off. Also, like Kung Fu Live is coming out. And that doesn't even use the Move controller. It just uses the camera, which is kind of a little throwback at Natal saying they can already do this type of stuff. But if that's going to be at E3, then maybe you have some people trying to get on board with the camera, but there's still nothing for the remote. It's all optional. If these people are so hardcore and they hate the Wii's remote, what's going to make them want to switch? They're not. They're not going to want to do it. And I think that's their biggest flaw, is there's nothing there except for the Wii Sports ripoff games, whatever that's going to be called. But that may be included with the remote, so I don't know. I don't see anything special.
I mean, yeah, Greg mentions the consumers, but I also think another thing to keep in mind is the developers.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're making Yeah, if you're making a hardcore, serious game on PS3, there's really no incentive, because you're making this game for the core gamers on the PS3, who are the folks who chances are going to prefer the traditional controller. I mean, you're going to have the casual game people, the Wii ports, that kind of stuff that are going to be using this. But for the more core developers, there's really no incentive to use it because their consumer base isn't going to want to use it. I mean, with Wii, at the very least, developers had to use it because that was the most common controller people had. Not everybody had classic controllers, so it didn't make sense to focus on classic controllers. Everyone has the Wii Remote and Nunchuck, though, so you design around that. I mean, now with PS3, everyone's already going to have that 6-axis or DualShock 3 controller. And for those, that core style of game, that's what people are going to want to continue using.
Yeah, but you have to think there's a lot. There's an awful lot of, I call them second party, but everybody calls them first party studios that Sony owns, and they're going to be, hey, we're going to throw some more money at this game. You got to include, move control schemes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Yeah, third party games. You're right. It's not going to happen that often.
Yeah, I mean, especially on like cross platform games, stuff that's coming out on 360 and PS3.
For our next question, what big-name game that everyone wants to see won't show up at E3?
Hmm.
Well, I think that a lot of people were expecting to see Half-Life 2 Episode 3 until Valve quietly said this week, no, that's not going to be there. So I'm thinking that was the big one that I was going to say, but now that's been confirmed to not be there, so like shooting fish in a barrel because I'm right. Only not like shooting fish in a barrel at all, if you think about it.
We try not.
So, I'm thinking that the big-name Nintendo title that is not going to make any appearance at all, even though I would love to see it there and would love to play it and think Nintendo should bring it, is Golden Sun DS.
Yeah.
And I think the reason it's not going to be there is because they've switched to the 3DS and it's not going to be ready to show at the event.
That's a good hypothesis.
Yep, he took my words right out of my mouth.
For me, a game that I'm actually, I could think of several. There's some MMOs that I really wanted to see last year that were strangely not playable, such as APB and The Agency, and I hope they're shown this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're not. I think a lot of people would like to try The Old Republic, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's also only shown to a very select few, if at all. Last year was shown closed-door developer doing the demo type experience. And the other game that I'd really like to see, it's also on PC, maybe it could be on consoles, is coming from Valve. And they bought out, or they hired the guy who created the original Warcraft 3 mod, Defense of the Ancients, which is the same game that Heroes of New Earth and League of Legends is based off of. And presumably, he is heading up a team that's making Valve's answer to that game subgenre. And I really, really, really want to see that game very badly there, as you know, because I'm such a huge fan of that type of game. And the guy, the Ice Frog guy, that's his alias. I don't know what his real name is. Ice Frog said that they were going to be announcing something really soon, but, and so a lot of people are like, well, E3 soon, so that must be it. And I want that to be true, but I'm just telling myself it's not going to happen, so I don't get my hopes up too high.
Mm-hmm.
I do also want to mention that Respawn Entertainment is not going to be showing anything at E3, no matter what shoddy journalists want to believe.
I mean, they've
and I'm
only
saying that because Evan is not here to say it, so.
What about Retro?
I'm really worried about Retro. I think that it's time for Retro to show something, but I don't know if they will or not.
Silicon
Knights?
I'm
really hoping that Retro is going to be Nintendo's big surprise that people are predicting now. Because everyone's gotten to the point where they're predicting, oh, Nintendo's got a big surprise because we already know about 3DS and about Zelda and about Vitality Sensor, so there's got to be something else there at the event.
More, more,
really
more.
Keep our interest, yeah.
I still think the 3DS has a lot more to show. I think we're still going to be surprised.
Yeah. Even though we know definitely.
So, for my guesses, I'd have to agree that retro could be a very big disappointment if their next project isn't there. But outside of Nintendo, one that I'm surprised we haven't heard more of recently, and this makes me think we aren't going to see it at this E3, was actually Final Fantasy 13 Versus.
Oh, yeah.
Because they announced it right alongside 13, and honestly, just from the art style and the promise of it being more action-oriented, I thought it looked a lot more promising than the normal 13. So, I kind of want to have an eye on it. Yes, Greg, of course, he was a huge fan of Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah. Versus is based on the same thing, it's just on a new world, though, so I don't see it.
Well, like I said, it's being developed by the Kingdom Hearts teams, which is, of course, more of an action-based thing. And while I've had a problem with the Kingdom Hearts series, and really the gameplay department, especially when it comes to camera control, I'd like to see what they could do with newer technology and maybe actually finally fix the damn camera.
But do you, Andy, do you spell RPG A-C-T-I-O-N? I don't.
Well, then it's not necessarily an RPG. I'm okay with an A-C-T-I-O-N game.
but it's not. It shouldn't be called Final Fantasy anything. It should be something else.
So close-minded.
What about all those Crystal Chronicles games?
See, those are different. They see how they retitled it, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, and that's fine. If they want to do that, yeah, I know, they call it Versus, but technically, you don't even know if that's going to be the name of it, or if it's just Final Fantasy, then Versus 13, or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not. It's still a numbered Final Fantasy, so I don't know.
Well, there is Final Fantasy 12 Revenant Wings on the DS.
I think Noah just likes to...
I'm playing the 8-bomb card.
That was a turn-based strategy, wasn't it, Noah? Or was it real-time strategy?
Yes, it was. It was real-time strategy.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a handheld there.
Okay. Last question. Which of the big three companies, Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo, will win E3 in the awful annual tradition?
Well, they're listening to a Nintendo podcast, so we're probably going to say Nintendo. Just because, you know, we're a Nintendo fan site, you know, it's what we like and what we're hoping will win. And I'm pretty sure that all of us hope that Nintendo will quote-unquote win this E3. Mm-hmm. And they've got a big chance of it. I think they're one of the most anticipated going into it. But of course, that could backfire if they don't meet up with anticipation and everybody just crucifies them because they weren't big enough. So I think that Nintendo has the best chance both of winning and of losing E3 for the very reason that it is so anticipated right now.
Honestly, I think the most likely to lose is Microsoft. Simply because I think actually they have the most anticipation because of Natal. And I think it's very, 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 very likely that a lot of people are going to come to the realization that Natal is not what it has been promised to be. And that's going to be, you know, really big backlash against it. There is, of course, the chance that they could really show off something great with it. And if that's the case, then they could win it. But overall, I'm leaning towards Natal, you know, dropping like a very, very bad bomb. And Microsoft getting laughed out of the frickin' building. As for Sony versus Nintendo, I would lean towards Nintendo simply because of the likelihood of a new Zelda game, which is pretty much an instant win card. And also the promise of Cammy Dunaway being seriously injured by the Vitality Sensor. And losing all sexual inhibition.
What about Sony's new PSP?
I'd rather have 3DS. Yeah, I forgot to mention that, too. That's kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at it just from numbers of hardware being shown, Sony's got both Move and a new PSP rumored. Microsoft only has Natal, and Nintendo has both the Vitality Sensor and the 3DS. I think Nintendo also has I think it has the best odds. For me, I'd actually, my first instinct was it's going to be between Microsoft and Nintendo. Because if Microsoft can pull a rabbit out of a hat and reveal a killer app that they haven't shown yet, which they're supposed to show games that we haven't seen yet, it could be really, really impressive and just totally steal the thunder and make 3DS look primitive. But if 3DS is indeed nearly as powerful as an Xbox 360, which I think is really getting people's hopes up way too high by IGN. Yeah. That was really cruel. I think it'll be just below a GameCube is what I'm expecting.
I feel bad for even posting that rumor on the site.
Honestly, I think it could be more powerful than Wii, simply because of the fact that if you look what Sony did with the PSP, you know, that's 5 years ago now, and they did, you know, just below PS2 level. And in the last 5 years, given the way things advance, I think it's very, very, very possible this could be more powerful, well, at least as more powerful, that doesn't make sense, as powerful, more powerful than Wii.
I think that it will have to be that powerful. However, it's not going to look that powerful because a lot of the processing is going to have to go towards rendering the screen twice.
Exactly.
Yes.
And while the hardware is literally that powerful that it could surpass a Wii and be almost 360 PS3 level, it won't look that powerful because of the 3D effect.
We have no idea how the 3D is being done, though. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. If it's simply the screen doing it, and it can be turned on or off, I don't know. And if it's even a camera type, how Luxley's lineup uses right now on the DSi, that looks pretty good. And the games, you know, the DSi isn't that powerful. But anyways, I'd like to get my most unbiased opinion out there about who's going to win. And because I am an owner of all three consoles, I don't know if that necessarily means that I'm unbiased. Probably not, because I love Nintendo more than anything.
It means you're at least as unbiased as me.
Yeah, so honestly, unbiased opinion, there's no doubt in my mind that Nintendo is going to win. I mean, think about it. Sony is already showing off half of their games before E3. Every day there's a new game that they personally come out and say, here's Killzone 3, it's going to be in 3D. Yeah, because so many people own a 3D TV right now. There's like 40% of the United States, if that, owned HD TVs. Think about how low of a percentage 3D TV owners there are.
And so, also, it's been announced.
What did you say? What was that?
Infamous 2 has already been announced.
As well. Yeah, Infamous 2, Killzone 3, SOCOM 4. I don't even know. But
in Sony's defense, last year they had a really good press conference that surprised everyone. I thought they had a very competitive show, and they're definitely a dark horse contender to win. But they could pull a rabbit out of the hat. They did a great job last year.
I guess.
Well, that was for the Sony. But they didn't have anybody yelling, Ridge Racer!
Yeah, but that's an awfully lot of big-name titles they've already let out. I'm not saying that they're not going to have extras. They definitely
But you
will.
Haven't seen them in action, have you? Because we knew the God of War 3 was going to be shown going in, but it was so impressive when it was shown at the conference.
Yeah, they've shown off a trailer for Killzone 3 already, and the trailer was, it didn't really show much, but supposedly the moving characters were created using, you know, it's in-game engine characters. So you've seen stuff like that. You've seen images, some of the 3D stuff, which I don't know why people were trying to post 3D images on the internet if you don't have a 3D screen to view them. But anyways, they're like, cool, look how cool it looks. And I'm like, you can't see it. You're telling me you're looking at it on a 3D TV or 3D laptop? No. But it's cool. It's okay. Okay, whatever.
It's okay, what? It's okay, Greg. When you get the 3DS and it has an internet browser, it'll automatically convert all of those pictures to 3D for you.
Yeah. but to continue, there's no way Nintendo can lose. There's just no way. Natal has this not just hype, but almost like fake hype. Like, they're just putting this image out there for everybody to look, and then when they finally show it off to everybody, where nobody... Anybody, it's hands-on for anybody. it's going to go down. Even just a little bit, that hype drops just a little bit. That's enough for Nintendo's 3DS, Zelda, who knows, any secret Mario game, Mario Party, casual titles. There's just too much going for Nintendo right now. Not to mention Metroid's going to be there. Sin and Punishment 2 should be there. I
wouldn't say that Nintendo could not possibly lose, because that would be like jinxing it. Because, for example, if Nintendo reveals the 3DS and it's a new Virtual Boy...
No way. Come
on.
I
don't think it's going to happen.
I know, but you have to think about
history. It's not impossible, you know?
But
I mean, for example, I could go out tomorrow and I could buy a lottery ticket and win the lottery and be a millionaire. It's about as likely as Nintendo losing E3 at this point.
But
it's not impossible.
I don't like comparing the Virtual Boy to the 3DS. I always joke about the games being brought over. But when you try and say that it's going to... I know you didn't say it, but if you even joke and say that it
here
could...
Here he goes again.
Just possibly fail. It could be a Virtual Boy. The Virtual Boy was rushed out because of the N64. That's a whole different issue.
Okay. Let me make a better analogy, I think. Just in terms of winning E3 for whatever the hell that's worth, like when the DS was announced, first revealed at E3, all they had to show with it was tech demos. And if it's a situation like that, I could see how people wouldn't be overly impressed with it.
Because I don't know. It depends on how good that 3D system works. Because I'll tell you what. When I first played Luxley's lineup, and that isn't that great of a game, some could argue that that is a tech demo. I was amazed. So that game sold me on 3D. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, listeners, we've gone on for quite a while with our E3 predictions. Go ahead and shoot us yours. We're actually going to be recording 5 mini episodes next week during the week of E3, one for each night. And if we have some extra time, it depends on how crazy things are, we can include your predictions in the shows. And we are going to be posting these episodes the same night that we record them. So the episode we record on Monday night is going to be posted on Monday night, so on and so forth. So if you have some predictions or hopes or wishes, whatever, send them into showmail@nintendojo.com or leave them over in the forums at nintendojo.com/forums podcast feedback section. We're going to move on from the barrage of E3 questions and focus more on this week's theme over at Nintendojo.com, the new Nintendojo, Rebirth. We're going to talk about what game revival do we think Nintendo should bring back at this year's E3? And do we really think it'll be there, or do we really think it should be there? We'll get into that next after a quick break. Rebirth, gentlemen. Nintendojo is going through its rebirth this week, and there's a potential for us to be surprised at E3 next week with a revival that we hadn't seen coming, or we'd really wanted. To trot out the worst example, and this is something that Andy actually addresses this week on Nintendojo, Kid Icarus could be an example, or something more obvious, such as F-Zero, or Star Fox, or even Donkey Kong. Who knows? We could get even more obscure. Let's talk about what game, or maybe if you wanted to say a niche genre, such as the beat-em-up or something, what genre should be reborn as a surprise next week at E3 for Nintendo? And do you think it should be there, or do you think it will be there? Let us know. Who would like to go first?
I'll take a shot. I want to see, though we probably won't, because Nintendo hates me, Earthbound.
Yeah.
That would be a great game to have over on the Wii, because there's so many great RPGs on the DS. Mm-hmm. And we've got Golden Sun coming up, and there's third parties continuing to just make a lot of terrific RPGs. But you just don't see that much over on Wii. Last big one I could think of, if we're not going to count Fragile Dreams, would be maybe the Tales game. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Another RPG came out. But if Earthbound was announced, that would be huge.
Arkrise Fantasia would be big, I think.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be there. But it's a PS2 title.
Xenoblade?
Xenoblade. Is it going to actually be there? Have they confirmed it? I don't think they've actually confirmed it for being there. It could be another one of those ones that could be there, but probably won't be.
Better be.
I mean, especially since they revealed it sort of behind their PR front last year as Monado, the end of the world, or something like that.
Yeah, the mystery RPG just tacked onto their games list, not explained.
It's RPG. Yeah, we have this trailer for an RPG that'll be coming out eventually. Here's the fact sheet.
It's so weird.
Knock yourself out.
I really want a new Donkey Kong Country game on WiiWare. Or DSiWare, I guess, but I'd rather have it.
You mean handled like how Sonic 4 is being done?
Yeah. The same, you know, the what were they considered, CGI sprites or whatever back then in the 90s? Yeah. That's what I want. I want the same style, you know, newer characters, not so many freaking Donkey Kong or Kongs in the Kong family, but new characters to ride. I don't want to turn into them either. I want to be able to ride them again, like the first and second. That's what I want.
So do you think it's very likely that'll happen?
No. I think it's very, very unlikely. But there hasn't been a Donkey Kong, any type of Donkey Kong game since N64. So, besides
the minis.
Yeah, besides minis and the bongos or whatever.
Donkey Kong, that whole
Jungle show. Beat was awesome.
Jungle Beat was cool, yeah.
I don't consider that a Donkey Kong
game. Barrel Blast was horrible, though. If you ever got a hold of it, it's just terrible. Yeah. I couldn't believe that they wasted time.
Or even, I guess I could even settle for a Donkey Kong Land, another Donkey Kong Land title on DS, or 3DS. Maybe that'll be a 3D title, I don't know.
See, I would give that probably a 30% chance of actually happening. I'm going to be probably a little optimistic on that.
Really?
Just because it's been so long since they've done something major with that franchise. Yeah. But as for who would be developing it, I have no idea, because it's one of their titles that they usually farm out to an outside studio, and it just doesn't sound like it'd be a good fit for Retro, but who knows, maybe that's what Retro has been working on behind closed doors.
A lot of people said Metroid wasn't a good fit for them, and look what they did, so.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
As for me, I would love to see a new game in the Star Tropics series. I don't think it has an Ice Cube's chance in hell of actually being there. But I would absolutely love to see something new in that series, since the last new thing for that series was in the NES days, or as Aaron Roberts would say, NES days. And Aaron Roberts would be wrong, and I can say that because he's not here. Booyah!
You could even say that if you were here.
That's true, I could. And I would.
For me, I've already mentioned it before. I've mentioned it time and time again. I actually like all the ideas that you guys said. I'd want them all to be there. But I'm going to just say it again, that I want to see an F-Zero game or a Star Fox game. And let me lump them together in this perspective. I would love to have 16-person online multiplayer, whether it's, and they could do modes where an F-Zero could be a race. Or in Star Fox, it could be like an arena.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be really nice.
Squad-based arena missions, and you had little buttons you could press that would tell your friends to do a barrel roll, or you had somebody on your tail and you needed help, or yell at them for shooting you, and that'd be great.
If they do a competitive Star Fox game online, they need to have a mode called Chase the Slippy, where one person is Slippy and everyone
person Slippy, but that Slippy constantly says annoying things out of his microphone. Yes.
And then on top of that, getting into the how hot user-created stuff is, it'd be cool if in F-Zero you could make your own tracks or your own point A to point B course in Star Fox. I think that'd be really sweet that you could like you did in Smash Brothers, make your own levels there, make your own levels in an F-Zero game or a Star Fox game could be really cool.
I'm sorry.
If Star Fox used really basic geometry, that you could create your own R-Wing or your own enemies. Be pretty sweet.
Would you be very, very unsatisfied or at least okay with another Star Fox Adventures 2 or something? What if they did that?
I'm not really interested in that because I know they've got a new Zelda game coming around the corner and I'd rather play a Zelda game than a Star Fox imitation of Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I don't think it's going to happen. If it did, I probably would play it just because I did find Star Fox Adventures to be enjoyable once I stopped thinking of it as a Star Fox game and started thinking of it as mm-hmm. a Zelda clone. It wasn't bad as a Zelda clone. It just wasn't True. Star Fox.
And I don't want Namco developing the next Star Fox. Sorry, Namco.
You mean you didn't like Star Fox Assault?
No, I did not. I want to see Nintendo take the reins back over because they did a great job with the originals.
One quick thing about Star Fox Assault. I actually got a chance to play it again recently, and it wasn't as bad as I remembered.
And you have stunned us to silence.
Did you play Star Fox Armada? That's the one that was on DS, right?
I didn't ever get to play that one.
No, I did play the one on DS.
I was surprised that the flight controls in that were done as well as they were with just all touchscreen, like Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
That's total tangent. That's all we've been doing in this episode.
That's all we've been doing in this podcast forever.
Yeah.
That, this is the Nintendo Tangent Podcast.
Yes. Tangent show go. If there's a particular game or franchise that you wish or wished would show up that we haven't talked about, send that in or drop it into the forums as well, and we can talk about it next week because I think one of the shows that we're going to do is going to be themed about what we wish was there, and very well, your feedback could be a crucial part of that episode. Speaking of feedback, we've got a little bit of a nerd alert piece to get into next. I don't know if H-Bomb's been feeling a lot of love on the Dojo Show Go in the last few episodes. He's been kind of, he's had a hard time here and there. And so, of course, being a trivia geek that he is, he immediately jumped upon correcting us on things from last week's episode, which is not one of my favorite traits in anybody. Aaron Roberts. I could probably name everybody on the show, including myself. We've all corrected each other about things obnoxiously, like, we've corrected
ourselves during this very show.
Yeah. So H-Bomb has gotten in on the correction fest, and he wanted to point out first the SMB movie at Super Mario Brothers for you non-geeks out there. Came out in 1993, not 1992. I was in eighth grade when it came out, and we went to see it for a class trip. Second, Captain N actually ran for 3 seasons on NBC's Saturday morning lineup with a standalone debut in 1989, and then being joined by Super Mario Brothers 3, not the Super Mario show, the next year. The 30-minute Captain N was sandwiched between 2 15-minute Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoons for a total hour of video game cartoon fun. The third season is what ventures into it did not exist levels of crap, as it was shoehorned into 15 minutes sharing a half hour with Super Mario World. Oh, and in 1990, I was Captain N for Halloween. H-Bomb.
I just looked up on this. I'm not sure who said it last week. It may have been me. It may have been Tidman. I don't know. But I just looked up on this movie website that like has all of the, you know, all of the information. It's IMDb Pro or whatever. Yeah. 1993. Super Mario Bros. The movie. 1993. Wikipedia. 1993. I can get one more source if need be, but I'll just leave it.
Well, that's what he said.
You got to triangulate.
I thought he said it came out in 92, not 93.
He said it came out in 1993, not 92. And he was in 8th grade. And he saw it in a class trip.
Oh,
and he was Captain N for Halloween. But he did not... he did specify the year. He was Captain N in 1990. Write it down.
Wow.
We need to make sure that we get that right and not put words in his mouth, you know.
That's right. Exactly.
It's important. I'm important that we...
It was not the Halloween of 1989. It was not the Halloween of 1991. It was 1990. Thank you very much.
Yay.
Listeners, if you'd like to send us feedback other than that kind of feedback, we would love it. Although we're glad that everybody is now on the same page of when H-Bomb dressed up as Captain N. Send in your feedback related to E3, your favorite rebirths or revivals tying into our issue over on NintendoJo.com this week. Send that into showmail@NintendoJo.com, or you can also leave feedback in the forums, or you may also actually even be able to leave comments on the episode podcast, the episode page for this podcast on NintendoJo.com. You may be able to post comments over there. So you got plenty of new ways to get in touch with us. We hope you go and check out the new website and sign up for all our new RSS feeds. We've got RSS feeds for the entire site, for just news, for just the podcast, for just the comments.
Look out for contests, too.
Yeah.
Contests coming.
There's so many cool things going on. We're really, really excited. We hope you like our rebirth. And we hope you like this episode. We'll be back next week for 5 shows in a row with just the on-site Los Angeles E3 NintendoJo team.
Woo!
It'll be me, Evan, and Tidman. And maybe Greg and Andy will record some gorilla bunker cast and revolt to us. Couple of their little podcasts. The Resistance podcasts.
Yeah.
Join now.
Yes. So all that and more to look forward to.
I put words into people's mouth podcast. Look out for that one.
Greg will deliver entire monologues that were purportedly delivered by H-Bomb and Roberts. All of them. And then H-Bomb said to Aaron Roberts, and then Aaron Roberts said back, I was there. In 2009. All right. We're going to sign off. We're getting a little punch drunk.
It's credits time. Music used in this podcast comes from Overclocked Remix, a not-for-profit website dedicated to the video game music remixing community. You can check the site out at www.ocremix.org. Here are the specific songs we use in the production of our show. Our introduction uses the remix Bomber Fuzz, created by remixer Fuzz. The original track is the theme from Hudson Soft's Bomberman, released on NES in 1985. The original composer was Jun Takuma. What we're playing features the remix Nuclear Flash from NES's Mega Man 2 and remixed by Sixto Sounds and Zircoin. Original composition Flashman Stage by Manami Matsume, Ritsukun, Yoshihiro Sakaguchi. Our discussion segments feature It's Boss Time, an NES Mega Man 3 remix from remixer Gux and based off the tune Boss, originally composed by Yasuaki Fujita. Our haikus use the remix Asian Twilight from remixer Grey Lightning. The original track is the theme from Konami's Legend of the Mystical Ninja, released on SNES in 1992. The original composers were Harumi Uoko and Kazuhiko Uehara. Our feedback uses the remix City Lights from remixer Poe. The original track is Mother, third stage background music from Konami's Axelay, released on SNES in 1992. The original composer was Masanori Adachi and Taro Kadou. Our conclusion uses the remix Super Buck Jazz from remixer Astratosphere. The original track is Overworld background music from Nintendo's Super Mario Bros. 2, originally released on NES in 1988. The original composer was Koji Kondo. If you liked those tracks, you can download more at www.ocremix.org and find many of the original game soundtracks for purchase at gamemusic.com, amazon.com, or iTunes. Additionally, most of the games mentioned are available for purchase on Wii's Virtual Console. Once again, thank you for downloading and listening to this episode of Dojo Show Go, the official NintendoJo podcast. If you like MMOs, check out our sister podcast, Channel Massive.